Okay, good morning, everybody. Nice to see you here. My name is Geert-Jan Meeuwissen, and this is my colleague Raoul Kramer.
Yes, I'm Raoul Kramer.
Today we'll talk about public values and free open source software for education. These are our names, just to introduce ourselves. Email addresses.
Don't hesitate to contact us.
Please, indeed, don't hesitate to contact us. We're a working group of the Internet Society in the Netherlands, and what we're trying to build is a digital school environment that is really based on public values by design. So that means you only use free and open source software, so that most schools in the Netherlands do have some kind of document on how they look at the world and why they're founded and what they would like to teach children. But most, that's usually based upon public values. But what's missing is that they use this public values they claim to stand for as a design starting point to build their IT environment, and that's not happening. But with free and open source software, that is possible. You could do that. So that's what we're trying to do. There's a lot of risks with the current big tech monopolies that are dominating the schools. So if you send your kid to a school, you can either select, used to be able to choose in the Netherlands between a Catholic school, a Protestant school, or a public school. But nowadays, this choice has changed into you can select, I send my kid to a Microsoft school or to a Google school or to an iPad school. But there's no free open source software schools yet. And also, schools, you can become very mad at your school, but there's not a real, there's lots and lots of nice, very good open source software. But the school is not going to download all of that, run that on a server, integrate it, and build their software environment. So there needs to be a party that's going to do that and integrate that and take care of the digital environment for the school so that it matches the public values of the school. There's a lot of public values you can talk about. I will select only a few to zoom into because we don't have 1.5 hours. So, and if you have all these public values, if you don't use your public values as a basis to design your IT environment, and you go with the very cheap solutions that big tech offers, you have a lot of risks. You can basically chop this risk up into a few parts. First is privacy. But also, quite often the debates only about privacy, and as soon as you call privacy, oh, but you have GDPR, we are compliant because you have a document. Well, but there's a lot more than that. And first, look into privatization of collective effort. What do I mean by that? Let me tell you an example. In the Netherlands, you have the application that's called Rekentuin. It's an adaptive learning thing for kids to learn how to calculate. And what they do is they have a ranking system. You can basically compare it with a tennis competition, and you have each kid has a ranking, and every calculation has a ranking, and then they match those two with each other, and that's based upon scientific research that if a kid has 70% correct score, then it's sufficiently challenging and sufficiently difficult enough. So the algorithm adapts so that you get 70%. But what happens then is this adaptive learning method is built by a university with public money, but now it's being commercialized into a commercial company and then sold back to schools with a proprietary license. And what then happens is that all the kids that are filling out all these calculations, they train the algorithm on how difficult these calculations are, because their biggest asset is they have a huge database filled with calculations, which they know exactly how difficult this is. So this rating, this rating is their asset, but this is produced by the kids. So in my opinion, if the kids make this data set and it's not privacy invasive, then this data set should be public domain so that any software can use that. So basically you pay now three times. First, there's public money paid for the scientific research to do the to create the method. Then the school is going to pay for the license to have access, and then the kids pay with their free labor to enhance the algorithm. Well, you can imagine what will happen with the with the licenses price, because they rule they're very popular. Schools are very enthusiastic about the method, so they'll conquer the market. And then after, the next phase will be ever increasing prices and no alternative, because they have the biggest data set. Now there's the term vendor lock-in. You probably all know that, but I like to make a distinction in three different kinds of vendor lock-in. The first one is for society at large. That means, I had it yesterday, we went out to have dinner after FOSDEM, and then in the group someone sends a Google link. So if I want to know where to eat, I need to open the Google link. And there's lots of these things. You continuously get invites for whatever. In school, a certain working group is made, and as soon as that starts, someone will create a WhatsApp group. You might not want that, and you're always the critical person that never wants to cooperate, which is very annoying. So you can try to build your own life and live your own life with only free software, but you're not alone. You're in society. So that's a society lock-in, that you continuously get pushed to use proprietary services. The second one is the organizational. This is the classic lock-in of make an exit hard for an organization to do something else. And you do that by proprietary software, no good APIs. And usually, quite often, organizations, especially schools, don't have an exit strategy, so they're locked in. But that's the one you really know. And then there's also the personal lock-in. If you spend time and effort to learn a specific tool, yeah, you're not going to do something else, because this is what you know. It takes time and effort to start doing something else. And especially with schools, if you learn certain tools, you're not even aware that there's other options. And you're also never going to have the idea that something might be wrong with the tool that you're using. So that's the personal lock-in. And then you can say, but school has a data processing agreement, so there's nothing wrong with that. But these data processing agreements, especially in the Netherlands, they're very famous, but how the Netherlands is taming big tech? Well, they're not, because first of all, there's this, they've done a lot of DPAs on how to do it, and the result of that is that to either work with any of the big tech providers, there's a very thick manual of very handy features that you need to switch off. Well, no school is doing that. For instance, a very simple example, ad blockers are mandatory. Well, if I look at the computers at my at school where my kids are going, they don't have an ad blocker. They even see gambling adverts in school. So we teach children how to use all of these proprietary things with not such good conditions. And that has a severe effect. I mean, if these services are not okay, maybe if in a school the data processing agreement would be adhered and would be totally GDPR okay, kids are not only in school, they go out of school. They will use the school tools also outside in their private life. So we have all these fantastic values. Yeah, we have all these fantastic values that you would like to have, but there's only one thing. kids will do outside of school what they've learned in school. That's why we're teaching them stuff. But outside of school, they have to click the big red accept button, and they will. Can I ask, can you raise your hand if you have a Google account somewhere? Ooh, all of them. And who has a Microsoft account, you know? A few less, but it's still the majority. And who has read all the terms and conditions? A few hands. Very good, very good. I'm surprised. But yeah, kids that go to school, how big do you think the chance is that they will read the terms and conditions and then go, ah, not such a good idea. Let's find something else. That's not going to happen. But all of these values are then being thrown overboard because everybody will use the proprietary services. And now with all the rising fascism that we have, all the fake news and the tech billionaires that are even buying presidents, we'll end up in a total nightmare dystopian world where it looks a bit like this. So, very bad situation. Very terrible, and now I'm going to hand over the microphone to Raoul, who's going to tell us how to fix it.
I'm trying to tell how to fix it, but first of all, what is quite different with some other countries like Germany and France is that we have freedom of education, and that brings that if you would whatever religion. You can start a school or whatever conviction, and state has to fund those schools, and the municipality have to provide buildings, and yeah, a minimal curriculum is prescribed. So it gives a lot of freedom, and we have for that inspectors, and they will check if the school is following the kind of norms. The schools themselves, they decide about their teaching methods, like what kind of direction, what kind of books you use, but also the IT environment that's used. What we kind of see is that that same school inspection, they will kind of check if the tables are in order, if the school rooms are healthy, if the books that are used are well, if the scoring of the kids is up to par. But they won't really look at the IT system. So even what Geert-Jan said, you will see, like I go to an open day to find a school for my kid, and I see everywhere popping up advertisements on their Microsoft computers, like no one kind of checks. Next to that, we will get a big issue with, for instance, Copilot and that kind of stuff. So a lot of people will be talking with some scientists in the Netherlands, and they're very worried about it because it changes the way children will learn. So, again, with the schools that can choose, it looks you have a freedom of choice, but yeah, how big is that freedom of choice? Like, we can choose of Google, Microsoft, iPads. And as a parent, it's really difficult to protest against that because that's how the school works, and often the schools are understaffed. So, yeah, what to do about it? And again, like at schools, there are not really IT specialists that will understand GDPR rules, and it's very difficult for them to check everything. So often they just get a subscription somewhere, and everyone uses it. So there's only a minimal compliance. And yeah, public values, often also schools have certain values about how they want to educate kids. Like that's not really included in the software package. With our coalition, Fair Digital Education, we try to look at it with from three angles. So one part, and I will tell you more about it, is our pilots, and that we try to educate schools and showcase alternative IT. We try to lobby and advocate at national and European level. And we also work together with journalists, with newspapers, and they do research, and with that outcome, we try to enforce legal pressure. And I mean, it would be great, and that's actually also why we're here, like try to see if we can work together on a European level. Going back to the schools, there are four IT domains. We have the common cloud software, like that actually has every package, like Microsoft, Google, it's kind of interchangeable. We also have Nextcloud, that's also possible, or any other open source cloud solution. And then we have, and then it gets a little bit more complex, we have the kind of school-specific systems, like the learning management systems. An example open source is Gibbon, and we have student administration systems. In the Netherlands, it's very famous, Magister. And I don't know, I think Gibbon is also could be replaced for Magister, for instance. Then we also have hardware. So my son and my daughter at their schools, a laptop is called a Chromebook. So it's very, like, it's a, that's what they have. But that could also be changed for open source software, and kind of a laptop can be called a laptop as it is. Often offered, that's also not open source, and Gertje was telling about the Rekentuin, is the kind of educational tools that need to be integrated in the package. Often, like it's called Wikiwijs or certain MOOCs, they are integrated in the Microsoft or Google package, but with whatever API they can be integrated in a different stack. And how we are kind of looking at it is, for sure there are other countries that they have the stuff already ready, but we are looking at it to have a kind of software stack with a chat version. Could be Matrix, could be something else, could be Delta Chat, Nextcloud, Office Suite, a kind of Big Blue Button or OpenDesk or Jitsi, a learning management system like Gibbon. That all kind of with a identity access management solution, and that connected to, for instance, in the Netherlands, we have KennisNet, where we have the digital learning packages, and we have the Duo, that's a kind of a system where kids need to be registered if they have education in the Netherlands. And for instance, we would like to kind of not give the schools the responsibility to run it on their own servers, but to see if we can kind of help and maybe train suppliers to have this as a software as a service, so that we kind of help them prepare. We're going to try to pilot it. We are work on it to build the stack, and then help and create documentation so that other suppliers can host it on a local cloud. In the Netherlands, will be a Dutch cloud. So I don't know if anyone here later on with the questions has ideas or has experience with it, that would be great. We're also talking with people from Debian, with Debian Education, to see if we Debian Edu, if we can run that on computers and connect it to our own Dutch, let's say, educational cloud. For this we would like to ask you, we have an international European chat group in Matrix. Would be great to join in a conversation. We have a website. We are busy with a European website, Fair Digital Education, but that's we didn't. It's not in the air yet.
We did translate the front page of our Dutch website into English now, especially for today. So
yeah.
I think we have questions? Some time for questions now.
Yeah.
6 minutes left. Yeah. Good.
Okay.
Anyone has a question? There. Can you do?
Yeah.
In Italy, teachers' wages are pretty low compared to the standard, and so the teacher career is not as popular as it used to be. So we have a fairly high average age of teachers. And if I have to bring, I am part of the school council when my kids are attending in middle school, and I see one of the biggest obstacles to overcome is, hey, but our teachers have habits about the tool we're already. Have you already encountered this argument, and how would you develop a strategy?
You want to answer it?
Yeah. So the question is, we have you have teachers also in Italy. Often the teachers are maybe a little bit on the older side and not really well paid. I think maybe that's everywhere national. Maybe not in Denmark, but
Finland is an exception.
But we are also struggling with the same, and also because often schools are understaffed, teachers will move from one school to the other. So we also struggle with the situation where they only know how Microsoft works or how Google works because they use them themselves already. So it's a kind of similar thing. So we also don't have a direct solution for it,
We had one of our pilot schools quit for that reason, because we had two pilot schools, and the first one stopped because they had a new director that doesn't care about software at all and doesn't see any values. That's the main reason. And the argument was we have lots of teachers and we find it very difficult that stuff in our school works different than what the teachers know. Yeah. So, other question?
Yes, perhaps you could tell a little bit about the other pilot school, then how far have they come in improving this concept and implementing this?
Question is, how far have you come in the other school? First, it's a elementary school, and it's a Waldorf school, so the kids themselves work with pencils, not with computers. But we did implement Gibbon. And first thing, practical thing we run into is there's a API that's supplied by the government where you have to supply some mandatory database information. But this API is not yet available in Gibbon. So we're going to write it, but it's just a little bit too much work for a volunteer to do. So it's one of the first things we're going to solve, because now we have a proprietary solution next to it, and then copy over the data set that needs to be uploaded and use that one to use the API. Yeah. So lots of this kind of practical shortcuts, workarounds you need to use.
Next question.
So what does it take to onboard school for the pilot project? And what does it take, in your opinion, to move pilot to the bigger adoption? And if there are any types of schools that are easier to collaborate as a pilot project than others?
Yeah, we have... what is needed to onboard schools and what type of schools would be best. So we have, in the Netherlands, we have Waldorf schools, free schools. They fit also a little bit better with kind of open source ethics. So they can be, more prone to follow it. But often what we know, and we also discussed yesterday evening, it's very important that there is an ambassador of open source within the school, someone within the teachers. And that's sometimes difficult to find, but when you get one, then that could be the kind of bridge. Also what we now see is a little bit the fear of like Copilot being switched on the computer, and that and then actually when you want to control your own systems, you should kind of run open source, because we see some people, teachers, that are worried about it, that could be prone to switch. Next question.
So
that's very difficult to do if you have all these
Projects. It's a very, very good question. The question is, where is the responsibility? And for a school, it's very easy to just sign a contract with Microsoft, because they solve everything. We want to be the party that solves all the IT problems of a school, but then with open source. And then showcase how that is done, and then we hope that our solution will be the open standard solution that other vendors will also offer to schools. Sorry, we need to. We're
out. To finish the question. One question more. Is not
one question. Yeah. Our last question. The guy in purple shirt.
Yep. I'm curious if you consider to set up a fully open source school yourself, like as an example, just as for example the Steve Jobs schools did, but then like fully open source.
No, we really try to find existing schools that or new schools, but we're not going to fund just to start a school by ourselves because that's another huge project.
But it would be a good idea I didn't if someone.
If someone really wants to do that, we will help. That's for sure. I'm sorry, I did not repeat the question. The question was, are you looking into starting a school yourself? And the answer is, that's too much work. Well, I'd like to have some closing words. First of all, special thanks to the main sponsor of this great event for teaching children that they have no right to see the see the source code of the software they're using, and for teaching an entire generation that they have no control whatsoever over their own data. And thank you for running Project Maven, which is used to with a lot of AI tools to provide to the Israeli government to kill Palestinian children and actively participating in genocide. So, thank you.